the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Melissa and I are so glad to be with you all again this year. Thank you. I'm so grateful. We are always so grateful for your hospitality. As I like to say, it is a ministry to the ministers that you all offer here in Linville, for the joy and the peacefulness and the relaxation that we all enjoy up here. I know my colleagues, several of my colleagues who come here over the summer, we all feel the same way. We feel incredibly blessed. So thank you. Thank you for your ministry to all of these ministers, especially me. Jesus said, all who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. This morning I want us to think about what does it mean to be humble in order to be exalted. What does Jesus want us to do with these words? Now my message this morning is a very simple one, but I think it's important. Some people think that to be humble means being docile, mild, or even subservient. But this is not what Jesus meant when he told us to humble ourselves. Some people think so, and Ted Turner once famously said, Christians are wimps. And I think many good people believe that the good saintly Christian is someone who's meek and mild and always deferential. That is certainly the view that we have of Jesus in art from the medieval period, where he is depicted as small in stature and frail, looking like the 90-pound weakling. But this is not what it means to be humble. In fact, it seems to me the word humility is one of the most misunderstood Christian concepts, and with it, its opposite, pride. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, has a wonderful quote about humility. He wrote, do not imagine that if you meet a really humble man, he will be what most people call humble nowadays. He will not be a sort of greasy, smarmy person who is always telling you that, of course, he is nobody. Probably all you will think about him is that he seemed a cheerful, intelligent chap who took a real interest in what you had to say to him. If you do dislike him, it will be because you feel a little envious of anyone who seems to enjoy life so easily. The humble man will not be thinking about humility, because the humble man will not be thinking about himself at all. End quote. Part of the struggle to live the life of faith includes with it the struggle to be humble. Humility is, after all, a Christian virtue. But being humble is not about self-deprecation or even self-denial. It's about forgetting self altogether. C.S. Lewis correctly points out that the humble person is the person who is able to forget about himself or herself and focus his or her attention on the other person. Mother Teresa, whose life and work has always fascinated me, was a wonderful example of humility, real humility. While she was a person small in stature, I'm sure I could have lifted her over my head with ease, she was far from being meek. Her inner strength, her determination, which came from her faith, enabled her to do the hardest work under the most terrible conditions in one of the harshest places on the planet. In every interview or I have ever seen with her or anything I have ever read by her, Mother Teresa was never interested in talking about herself unless she was specifically asked. Instead, she always focused on the plight of those around her, the poorest of the poor in Calcutta. When you watch her in old interviews, she speaks with self-confidence and passion about the people she is trying to serve. There is always this sparkle in her eye, and although she was an extremely humble human being, she did not suffer fools lightly. She was humble in that her entire life's work was focused on caring for others, but she was as tough as nails also. While humility is considered one of the greatest Christian virtues, pride has been called the greatest of sins. The Greeks often spoke of pride as hubris. But like humility, pride is a term that is often misunderstood. If pride is a sin, then do we sin if we have pride in our children or our grandchildren? Do we sin if we have pride in our country? Do we have sin if we have pride in ourselves and our accomplishments? The answer is no if that pride means that we have appreciation for the accomplishments of our children, or our grandchildren, or our country, or ourselves. The answer is no if that pride means we value our children and grandchildren, our nation, and our accomplishments. And if anyone is guilty of the sin of pride, it is not because they are self-confident or self-assured. God wants us to be able to love ourselves, because without love of self, we cannot love our neighbor. Rather, people are guilty of the sin of pride when they foolishly believe that life is completely of their own making. A prideful person is not only proud of his or her accomplishments, but he or she is sure those accomplishments are completely their own doing. The sin of pride is often, really, the sin of misplaced credit. It's the sin of taking credits for one's successes or good fortune or healthy family rather than realizing deep in one's soul that all of those good things are gifts from God. Christians believe that God is all good. Therefore, if God is all good, then all goodness comes from God. So as Christians, we can be proud of what we accomplish in life, of the good that we do, but we must never forget the author and the source of all that goodness. To put it another way, we can no more be called fine human beings without giving credit to God than an elegant vase can be called beautiful without giving credit to the potter who transformed it from a simple lump of clay. And here is where we find the essential difference between humility and pride. The humble person always knows who and what he or she really is. The prideful person never seems to remember. On Ash Wednesday, the priest puts ashes on our foreheads and reminds us of that essential truth. And he says, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. We do not have any say about when we come into this world, and most of us have very little say about when we leave it. God is in control, and we fool ourselves to think otherwise. We can be proud of our accomplishments, but the humble person recognizes that God is the real author and the real protector of those accomplishments, while the prideful person foolishly thinks that he did it all by himself. And here's the point. For the Christian, real strength comes from accepting one's weakness, from accepting that we are not fully in control, and that all the blessings we have come from God. Mother Teresa exuded such confidence, power, and energy in that small, tiny little person because in her humility, she knew she possessed none of these things in and of herself. Instead, she knew, as St. Paul said in his letter to the Philippians, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Mother Teresa never talked about herself if she didn't have to because she was not the point. God was the point. In our lesson, Jesus reminded his dinner guests that everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. Because he knew that the humble have their faith in God, and the proud have their faith in themselves. As Thomas a Kempis once wrote, Lord, if you withdraw your hand, there is no grace. If you cease to guide us, we have no wisdom. If you no longer defend us, we have no courage. If you do not keep a holy watch over us, our watchfulness cannot protect us. By ourselves we sink, we perish. When you are with us, we are uplifted, we live. We are shaky, you make us firm. We are lukewarm, you invoke us.